as those of us in northern climates begin to wonder just how long this winter can possibly last, nature writer Bernd Heinrich reminds us that humans are adapted to a tropical environment and devise clothes and houses to maintain it year-round. Other animals, of course, don't have L.L. Bean and Swiss Miss on their side. Even with fur and feathers, survival is a complex and risky business in the winter woods. Bernd Heinrich describes it in his book, Winter World, The Ingenuity of Animal Survival. If you have questions about animals in winter, or if you'd like to share your own discoveries exploring the winter world, give us a phone call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. You can send us email as well, totn@npr.org. Bernd Heinrich joins us now from the studios of Vermont Public Radio, and welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you.
You frame this book as a quest to find out how one particular bird makes it through the winter in Maine, the golden-crowned kinglet. For those of us who are unfamiliar with it, tell us a little bit about this bird.
Well, I figured the golden-crowned kinglet would have the toughest time in doing something that facing the same problem that we do, namely keeping warm, because it has to maintain a high body temperature and at the same time finding food. So a lot of animals get through the winter by just basically dropping out and letting the body temperature drop to freezing, and sometimes some of them even get frozen solid and kind of survive in a frozen state. But these guys have to maintain a high body temperature like we do most of the time, and they have the problem of getting energy precisely when energy is very short supply, especially if you're an insect-eating bird. So I thought it was kind of iconic of the problem faced by especially warm-blooded animals.
And this is a tiny bird. It weighs as much as 2 pennies, and it's as big around as a walnut.
Yes, when you take the feathers off, of course, when you see it out in the woods, and they're not very many people see them because they're kind of secretive and they live in spruce fir forest in the north, it looks a bit bigger because it has, you know, quite a layer of insulation, extremely good insulation, and that's one of its big key of survival, but it cools very, very rapidly. If you were to take the feathers off, it would just, you know, the body temperature would plummet down to, you know, many degrees per minute. So
what is its strategy for winter survival?
Well, it basically has to forage all day long, and it has to find food all the time. It has to be eating continuously. If it goes without eating for a few hours, then it would die. And it has to fatten up during the day in order to have enough energy to make it through the night, because it burns off basically all of its fat throughout the night while they're shivering on a branch.
And they shiver the same reason we shiver, to try to keep ourselves warm.
Right, exactly. So they might save some energy by huddling with others, and so they have to run around in groups, basically, and when it gets dark, because they have to feed till the very last minute, they have to have huddlers close by to snuggle up to so that they lose less heat.
So why doesn't this bird, given all of the difficulties you've just outlined, say, it's getting cold, maybe it's time to fly south for the winter?
Well, actually, some of them do. Some individuals do, and it's interesting that some of the population migrates and some of it apparently doesn't, because they're here all winter long. But the thing is, a small bird like that has a hard time migrating, too. And it might suffer a lot of mortality. And so a lot of birds, if they possibly can, they don't migrate if they can have food.
Mm-hmm.
So in some situations, they can find food. They're very good and apparently these guys eat frozen caterpillars that they find on branches, which wasn't really known until we checked it out. But there's some caterpillars out there, and of course, if the caterpillars aren't available some year, then they do have to migrate.
Mm. I was intrigued to read that there are the eggs of tent caterpillars that, as an ignoramus, I wouldn't know there, would be able to tell them from a lump on a piece of wood, but you describe them as being basically preserved in antifreeze.
Yes, the the eggs are just loaded with glycerol, and they actually look like a lump on a twig, because there are many eggs in a cluster. But many insects survive the winter pickled in glycerol and antifreeze.
We're speaking with Bernd Heinrich. His new book is Winter World, The Ingenuity of Animal Survival. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. In the process of following the story of the golden-crowned kinglet, you explore the survival habits of a lot of other northern animals. For example, the Arctic ground squirrel has some interesting habits.
Yes. Well, the ground squirrel is one that... That doesn't have the food available in the wintertime like a kinglet has. It doesn't have any opportunity to find food, so it has to either lay up a lot of fat or store food, and it lives on forbs and grasses and so on, so it can't store them, so it has to live off fat. And to make them last longer, it has to have its body temperature very, very low, and it's in the high Arctic, where it basically has to hibernate on the ice, on permafrost, so it's on ice. And it has to prevent itself from freezing. So it basically has to sometimes regulate its body temperature close to the freezing point of water. And once in a while, the interesting thing is that once in a while they come out and apparently they warm up in the middle of the winter, spend a lot of energy to warm up, to shiver, and they can do that from... after being cooled down to 0 degrees and...
Zero centigrade, yeah.
Zero centigrade, yes. And and the thought is that they do that in order to sleep, according to research done by Brian Barnes at the University of Alaska.
Let's get a caller in. This is Rudy, who joins us on the line from Forest Grove, Oregon.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
A number of years ago, I was living in the East, and we had a very cold early December, and with no precipitation. So we all ran out to this big lake to go ice skating, and there, frozen in about 8 or 10 inches of ice, were thousands of fish, small to 8, 10 inches long. And I was wondering why these fish, how they could do that, and how come we didn't have all these dead fish in the spring?
Well, maybe a ravens or something else came and ate them all up. I mean, I don't know... a fish that are able to survive. It's possible that they could survive in ice for a while, but I doubt if they would survive very long because they would require oxygen. They might still not be frozen if it doesn't get too much below 32 degrees centigrade. But I would suspect if they were frozen in the ice, they would die, and probably lots of animals out there would eat them as soon as they thaw out.
Mm. Okay, Rudy.
Someone had told me that particular type of fish had a air bladder along its spine, and that's where it stored oxygen. Does this sound like a wives' tale to you, or a possibility?
It sounds more like a wives' tale. They wouldn't be able to store very much oxygen.
Thanks, Rudy.
Wouldn't last very long.
Thank you.
Here's an email question from John Keogh. Do skunks hibernate? I've been seeing them all over the place this winter. I could swear I read as a child they hibernated.
Well, they are very light hibernators. They will come out when it gets warm, and then when it gets really cold, they will hibernate for a while. So there's all gradations from deep hibernation to facultative, where the animals come out and up and about. So it's not all or none. It's all gradations in between, and so they're just light.
Let's see if we can get Mac in, and Mac joins us from Phoenix, Arizona.
Good afternoon.
That's where we'd all like to be, those of us in the north.
Well, strangely enough, I enjoy snowshoeing. Not much locally here, of course. But a question I had was, our dog, which is a border collie mix, just goes nuts when we go up to the snow. It's as if it's just pure joy. And I thought it was just him, but I've heard relations from many people saying that their dogs really, really enjoy snow. I don't know if they get just tired of the long summer here or what. Do you have any ideas on why that might be?
Well, I guess I don't really know why dogs enjoy snow or why some of us enjoy snow. It's a new sensation, and certainly I know a lot of birds that enjoy when the snow comes. They roll around in it and bathe in it. I don't know. Maybe they got bored without snow.
got bored with the desert heat, perhaps.
Right.
Yeah, wearing that fur coat all year.
Yeah. Mac, thanks very much.
Thank you.
We just have a few seconds left, but I was fascinated by your speculation about a lot of us get sad in the winter time. There's even a syndrome from the lack of sunlight. But you suspect it may be, you know, a kind of a human kind of hibernation force as well.
Well, I'm I'm just being speculative here. I mean, it seems to me seasonal affective disorder is, you know, a lot of people, when there's a when there's lots of dark and a few hours of daylight, that's a signal that most animals use to get into the hibernation mode. That's when they switch over to the hibernation physiology. That's the signal that they use for migration, many of them. And so their psychology changes.
Maybe human does too.
Maybe we do too. Maybe we have some remnants of a hibernation response.
Bernd Heinrich, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
His book is Winter World. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.